This is 5-on-3. Center ice for all things Islanders, Rangers, and all news across the NHL on WFUV Sports.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to 5-on-3, WFUV's best, if only, hockey podcast. I am Tucker Austin, joined today by Sophia Smith and Emma Leonardi. It's Thursday, June 11th, 2026. Been a while since we had an episode, but we're in the heat of the Stanley Cup final right now. That series is tied at 2 between the Vegas Golden Knights and the Carolina Hurricanes. So now essentially a best of 3. But really quickly, before we get into breaking down the final, because Game 5 is tonight as of this recording in about an hour or so, I do want to look back quickly at the bracket as well, just to see, because there was a lot that went on in that playoff bracket. A lot of upsets in there, a lot of pretty surprising results. And also at the end of this one, we're going to briefly touch on Dylan Larkin and the news surrounding him. One of the most consistent forwards in the league wants out of Detroit. Who's surprised? Absolutely nobody. I mean, if you're asking me, it's not a surprise. But really quickly, before we get going, how are you guys doing? Sophia, we could start with you.
I'm doing good. It's really hot outside and my room is really hot. But I'm doing good. The Knicks won last night. Crazy game. And I'm ready for some more craziness with the hockey game tonight. So,
yeah, I feel like I really can't complain. I was like texting my friend after the Knicks win last night. And I was like, it's just really a great time to like be living in New York. Like you really can't be complaining. I mean, there is like the heat and I was dying today walking around. Like I went to lunch on Arthur Ave and I was literally dying, like walking there and back. And it's like 2 minutes away from my apartment. So there is the heat factor, but really can't complain when you got the Knicks doing what they're doing. So
I don't know about you guys, but I'm nice and comfortable at home in New Jersey. The weather is nice and temperate out here in the foot of the mountains. But yeah, I didn't think we would talk about the Knicks, but here we are. You really can't escape them. New York basketball is something else. The Knicks are one game away from winning the NBA Finals as of this recording. I cannot keep the smile off my face as I say that. But either way, let's get into a little bit of this playoff bracket in the NHL. Stanley Cup playoffs this year were absolutely unreal. You had two sweeps in the first round belonging to the Avalanche and the Hurricanes. In the second round, the Hurricanes swept the Flyers, so they won their first 8 straight games in this playoff run. Meanwhile, the Anaheim Ducks got by the Edmonton Oilers in round one, which was pretty crazy, but they fell short against the Golden Knights in a 6-game series. That set up eventually after a 7-game series between the Sabres and the Habs, which probably deserves its own episode. But 7-game series there, the Habs get through, and they lost in 5 games in the ECF to the Hurricanes, who finally got over the proverbial hump. They had been trying to get to the final, back to the final, for so, so long, and they fell short so many years in a row. And now they finally got back to the final. On the other side, Vegas swept the Avalanche. So I don't know if you guys had any specific thoughts about how this playoffs went. I thought it was really wild and I would say heavily unexpected. But for me, the biggest shock of the entire playoffs this year has to be that sweep in the Western Conference Final for Vegas and Colorado. But Emma, we can start with you here. Was there anything from this bracket that kind of threw you for a loop? Clearly the Ducks didn't, because I remember we did the pre-playoff show and you had the Ducks beating the Oilers, I believe, in 6 in your original bracket. So you were all over that. But did anything else surprise you about this year's playoffs?
I feel like definitely like the Colorado, Colorado not making the finals, even like that was just, and like, I know like Sophia and like, I think Sophia was on this one, but we had like Ethan Best was saying like the President's Trophy like curse, you know, all that, and I was like no, Colorado would be the one to beat that curse, like they're gonna do it, it's totally fine. No, they didn't. So that like really threw me for a loop. Also, talk about like probably my least two favorite teams in the entire NHL being in the finals. It's really not like a win situation here. Yeah. I feel like that just the Colorado thing though. Like that just threw me for a loop.
I think that on the opposite side of that, like Vegas has just surprised me in so many ways. Like for them to be able to sweep the Avalanche, I just didn't know. Like, where did that come from? This team had 39 wins in the regular season. And then they come out and they win game one of this series, and then they're up 2-1, and then now it's tied. But it's just like, I don't understand where this team came from, because like I don't think anybody expected this from them. I don't think anybody thought that they were going to get past the Avs, and for them to then like show up against a team that really hadn't had that many losses, hadn't given up like so many goals. Like I think the Hurricanes have been so solid, and they've just managed to be better, if not like the same as Carolina.
Yeah, and another thing that shocked me about this playoffs was the Minnesota Wild in that second round series against Colorado. A little underwhelming. I would say a lot underwhelming, actually. They went down in five to a team that went on to get swept in the next round. So that leaves a lot of question marks for me when it comes to the Minnesota Wild. I don't know how good they are anymore. I went in thinking they were pretty solid, but I had the Dallas Stars beating them in the first round originally. So I was disappointed to see that prediction not come true, but then I was kind of, I was almost reimbursed for that incorrect pick by Colorado, just like manhandling the Wild in the second round. But yeah, I mean, I agree with everything you guys are saying. It's been a shock for the Avs to not be there, for it to be the Knights again. I think, what is this, their third Stanley Cup final in the last 5 or 6 years now? And one of those they won, and they very well could win this one now that the series is knotted. But yeah, why don't we get and yeah, like you mentioned, Sophia, Colorado had only dropped the one game to the Wild in their run before losing four straight against Vegas. Like they looked like a powerhouse, and then Vegas just slammed the door shut in their face. So President's Trophy curse stays alive, and we will be looking at that with a close eye next season, because I guarantee the money is not going to be on whoever wins the league next year. But also famously, at least in my world, the Vegas Golden Knights had fewer wins than the New Jersey Devils and are in the Stanley Cup final.
And
So,
the Islanders.
and they have more wins than the Islanders too, and neither of those teams made the playoffs, that being the Devils or the Islanders. So maybe time to look at the loser point. Maybe not. Who knows? I mean, the Islanders have certainly benefited from that in the past, and we've talked about it probably 100,000 times. But who knows? I mean, like a year like this with a disparity like that, especially if Vegas goes on to win the cup, it's going to be a pretty interesting discussion this offseason. But getting to the Stanley Cup final in particular, it has been a electric ride to say the least. One goal games for in the first three, the first non-one goal finish in this series happened in game four, the most recent game. 2 nights ago in Vegas, when Carolina won 5-3, they scored an empty netter to kind of put it away in that game, and crucially win that game 4-2, as they were down 2-1 after a double overtime thriller in game three. And had Vegas won that game at home, it would have been very much in the hands of the Golden Knights at 3-1. But instead, the series goes to a best of three now as it heads back to Carolina. For me, this series has been kind of all over the place game to game. I know it's been close in every game, but it's been different guys producing for both teams. It's one of the reasons I think the Carolina Hurricanes are so strong, is because they can get production out of pretty much the entire lineup. You're rolling four lines, it's going to be a good sort of equation either way. Meanwhile, the Golden Knights, it's been kind of odd, because at first, they weren't getting a lot, as at least as much as they would want out of their forward groups. A lot of the two games that they won in this series, they got more scoring out of their defensemen, and that's what helped push them over the top. But you also had in that double overtime game a hat trick from Mitch Marner, which ju that is exactly what Vegas needed out of a guy of that caliber, still in his first year in black and gold after leaving Toronto. But oh man, yeah, this has been an absolutely crazy. We already had a goalie change for the Hurricanes. It's been unreal. But I suppose before we get to predictions for tonight for game five, over the course of the first four games, I mean, the series is even, so I find it hard not to say the teams are playing pretty even. But Have you guys noticed any kind of an edge for either of these teams in the games that have been played so far? I feel like maybe the Hurricanes play style, I think, kind of plays against the Knights better than the Knights play style matches up against the Hurricanes. But again, the Golden Knights have been able to kind of, they have the pedigree, they have the experience, and that's what's given them their 2 wins. But I wanted to get your guys' takes on it. Sophia, we can start with you here. What from these first 4 games has stood out to you? What might set a team apart going into the final stretch?
Well, I had definitely have to give Jordan Staal his flowers. I think that Mark Stone has been great too as captain, but I think that Staal, he has 5 goals in 4 games, and he had that great go-ahead goal in game 4. And I'm just sitting here and I'm like, my captain is JT Miller, and Jordan Staal's doing all this. But yeah, I think that I like Carolina. Aho's not really performing that well. Like, I think he has like, I don't even know, like 2 goals in the playoffs or something. And they were having a lot of power play issues, but seem to have fixed that now. I like to think that Carolina has the edge, especially if Aho can get going, and like Svechnikov and all of them going forward. I don't know. I think that they're so equal, as we've seen with the overtimes and the like back and forth of scoring. I thought it was really interesting pulling Freddie Anderson or not having him in game 4 and then not even having him back up. That was an interesting move for me. I don't know, Emma, what do you think?
No, I definitely agree. I do feel like Carolina is the better team out of the two, though. I think, like, looking back on it, you can see how, like, in the first game, Carolina was probably, like, I again, like, watching it, like, the Knights did play very well, and I'm not discrediting that, but I do think that there was an element of, like, surprise there, especially because it was in North Carolina, like, the first game. And, like, the fact that, like, I don't know, like it, the first three were so close in score, and then the most recent one, Carolina won by 2. I feel like they're kind of getting their like mojo back. I feel like the first one was kind of a shock to the system, and I might be completely wrong about this, but this is just my perception of it. The first one was a shock to the system. The second one, you want to win at home, so you fight for it, even into overtime. The third one went to 2 overtimes, so clearly, like, I honestly feel like at that point it just gets down to like luck, like who can knock one in first, like obviously. But I do think that and there's some element of luck to that. And then again, the most recent one, you win by 2, and I feel confident for Carolina going into the rest of them, and I know we'll get to predictions later, but I just feel like out of the two, Carolina's definitely the better team, and I think that, again, like not discrediting Vegas and their skill, but I think that some of it is kind of like luck and shock on their end.
Also, like back to the goalie thing, Carolina has had the advantage in shots for the, like, especially the beginning of the game. It was like 21-11 in game 4. And I was like, the score's tied 3-3, but this is like, I feel like Carolina is firing on all cylinders here. It's just that they don't have the goaltending to back it up.
And they're getting about 3 more shots per game in this series than the Golden Knights are, which is that's kind of weird considering that Carolina is the team that's had a goalie change in this run or in this series, not Vegas. But actually in game 4, there started to be questions. I remember watching Twitter and I saw the questions start to pop up of like, oh, is Tortorella gonna pull Carter Hart? Like, is Hart getting pulled soon? Like, if he pulls Hart, like this could be the make or break decision for the series. He didn't wind up pulling Hart, I don't believe. He did not. He left Hart in there. And they did wind up losing 5-3. Hart only let in 4 of those goals. But that starts to be another question that starts to get asked, and maybe it might be even getting asked in the room with the Golden Knights. Like, should Carter Hart? Or should you think about pulling him? Like, say game 5 starts to get away from him tonight, they go down by like 3 or something early on. Do you move to another goaltender? They've been running with Carter Hart this entire playoff run. It feels a lot like the Oilers situation when they had Stuart Skinner playing goalie. And they almost didn't want to pull him because they had been riding with him the entire playoffs and they were hesitant to pull him. In my opinion, it wound up costing the Oilers both their chances at a cup against the Panthers, that indecision when it came to the goaltending. Meanwhile, for the Carolina Hurricanes, they got to the goalie decision very fast, and the Brandon Bussey switch has been working incredibly well for them. Yes, Bussey he did kick that puck in by accident in the double overtime game to give Vegas the 5-4 win, which, to your point, Emma, that's a little bit of that puck luck coming in. And I would say, like, based on that win, it definitely seems like Vegas is a little bit more reliant on all of the bounces going their way rather than the Hurricanes, who kind of make their own luck in a way. I think the best way to describe that would be you go to that go to that double overtime game where Vegas got the win on a unreal bad bounce for the goalie, great bounce for the Golden Knights. But in that third period, Carolina's down 4-0, and then 7 minutes in, they score three goals in 39 seconds with three different lines. All three of those goals, from the goal straight through the assists, were three entirely different combinations. There were no repeat names in there. I had to check multiple times to make sure that was true, but I was floored when I saw that. And then Andrei Svechnikov on the power play with under 2 minutes to go ties the game at four, sends it to overtime. That's another thing, actually, that I wanted to bring up too, is that Carolina is 36% on their power play in this series, and Vegas is 8% on their power play. So the conversion rate for the Hurricanes, very, very good, but for the Golden Knights, it is abysmal. And that is causing a huge gap. It's definitely the reason why Carolina is still in this series. Vegas has got a lot of bounces to go their way that's led it to 2-2. But when you look at the numbers, you look at a disparity like that, the Hurricanes also have a significant advantage in the faceoff percentage too. It's a wonder this series isn't 3-1 going back to Carolina, or isn't already over. But I think that's another thing you have to credit Mitch Marner for stepping up in a big way, the way that he did. And you have to shout out the Vegas defense because they're activating and playing well in the games that they win, getting themselves onto the score sheet. Shea Theodore has done a great job of that. Really all playoffs for them. And yeah, so I think that gets us to predictions for game five now. It's so hard to diagnose a series when it's all evened up like this, especially when the games are so close but so wildly different at the same time. So, like, I mean, you get one version of the story when you just kind of look at the box scores after the game is over. You get a completely different story when you actually watch these games play out. So I'm really excited to see what happens in Carolina tonight. I think that barn is going to be raucous, having just stolen a game in game four in Vegas. They got one at home, so both teams have split their home runs. But game five, Raleigh, North Carolina, it's not an easy place to win. Neither is Vegas, but this is the nature of the series. I think this is such a huge opportunity for the Hurricanes. They go into this one with the momentum from game four, rolling four lines. Everybody is contributing. Everybody's finding ways to impact the game, even if it's not on the score sheet. And you're riding with Brandon Bussey with an excellent goaltender to back him up in case things don't work out there. Like, having a healthy relationship between two goalies and being able to swap them in and out without it causing like a major meltdown in the locker room is so huge. It's what the Oilers were missing. It's what the Hurricanes have, and it's what the Knights seem to be missing. So going into game five tonight, I want to ask you guys what you're looking for. What does each team need to do to actually get over the top, take control of the series here, and who do you think can do it tonight in Raleigh? Emma, we can start with you here.
I feel like it's definitely going to be Carolina, and I know that like there might be another shock, there might be more luck on Vegas's side, and again, not discrediting their playing because it has been very good. But I think it's going to be Carolina. I think they're at home. They're coming off of that win from game four in Vegas. And the first one that didn't, it wasn't just a one goal deficit. And I just really think that especially if the Knights, like, I'm gonna agree with, I don't know, you said you saw this like online, but I'm gonna agree with whoever said it online that if the Knights like don't change their goalie or like pull Carter Hart in any way, like I just don't see Carolina losing this one. And I just feel like, again, it might, maybe it's hope because I also really don't want the Knights to win. But I feel confident for Carolina. Yeah.
I am going to say Carolina too, but I don't really feel that confident in saying that just because I'm so torn. But I think that if they can't, and this goes for either team really, but the team that can play a full 60 minutes of like full momentum and like locking in, because every game has had its highest score. Like it's been 2-0 and then it's 2-2. It's been 3-1 and then it's 3-3. If a team can hold the lead, I think, like, especially if tonight, if a team can hold the lead for the entire game, like they will win the series. If any team can do that in any of the games, they will win the series, because I just think that it's been a lot of back and forth, and having the ability to do that will ride them into the success of the Stanley Cup.
Yeah, I really think based on what I was saying before, when you look at the two ways that these teams play the game, I think the safer bet is for Carolina overall, just because they play a really simple brand of hockey where it's just get pucks down low, get them in front of the net, get Carter Hart moving and shaking a little bit. And then when they do finally break through, sometimes it's not until the second period, or maybe not even until the third period. But when they do finally kind of break that seal, they start scoring in bunches. When it comes to the Golden Knights, I don't see them scoring in bunches as much. They'll get like a goal here, a goal there. They did score four in a period in the second period of that OT, the OT thriller in game three, but three of those goals were Mitch Marner, and within like 6 minutes. So that's kind of one guy getting hot. Now, which would you rather rely on is the sort of the thought process here. One or two guys who have extreme pop-off value and could very well put the entire team on their back, or a full squad of guys who are going to just continue to chip away, at a goaltender who already seemingly is a little bit on the ropes. In Carter Hart. And for me, I think the safer bet is to go with the Carolina Hurricanes, especially because they're playing at home and because they're coming off of a win. I think the series will go seven for sure at this point. And it, like, so if Carolina wins tonight, I think Vegas will take it back to three games apiece when they go to T-Mobile for game six. And I think it'll go back to North Carolina for an unreal game seven, where it's everything is going to be laid out on the line in that game. But yeah, I like the Hurricanes to take control of the series tonight. Just because, like, all they have to do is just keep doing what they're doing, like keep playing the game that they know how to play, because it has worked out for them for the most part. And I would say, like, in the games that they lost, it was like a bounce or two, maybe three bounces that didn't go their way that wound up in Vegas goals. So I agree with you, Emma. I think Carolina is easily the better looking team so far in this final. It's just going to be about playing clean and playing the way that they know how. So importantly, don't commit penalties, but also keep the pressure on the Golden Knights. Try to force them to make mistakes, because Carolina is converting at an unbelievable rate on the power play so far in this series. If they can get back to the man advantage, if I was them, I would do it as often as I can. Try to draw out the Golden Knights, try to get them caught in transition, and make a couple of mistakes with the stick that they know better than to do. But I think Carolina plays very fast. They play very physical and aggressive, and I think it can lead to a lot of fatigue mistakes in the Golden Knights. So if they can get to the man advantage and keep themselves clean, but also stick to what they've already been doing, I think the Hurricanes should have no problem taking this series. Even if it goes to seven, I still think Carolina can hoist that cup, if they just stay true to themselves. For Vegas, It is a weird situation because it really seems like they need their D-men to get involved with the scoring for them to get wins in this series. But it's another one of those things where if you have an X-factor guy like Mitch Marner or like a Jack Eichel who hasn't really been heard from this series, if Eichel wakes up or if Marner has another game like he had in game three, could very well swing the series in Vegas's direction. So as cut and dry as it seems when you watch the games and see how Carolina plays, it is kind of a coin toss almost. And I suppose that's why it's at two games apiece. But game five is going to be tonight. It's record as of this recording. It is going live in just under an hour. But before we wrap this episode today, I do want to get to some general NHL news. We talked about it a bit before the show, but Dylan Larkin wants out of Detroit. And who wouldn't? Because things have not really been going the way that Yzerman wants with the Detroit Red Wings. I don't see it getting any better necessarily in the foreseeable future, and neither does Dylan Larkin. So he wants out, and 3 days ago, he requested that trade with a three-team list. He has a full no-trade clause in his contract, so he had to give the Red Wings a list of teams that he would be okay with going to. Minnesota was one of those. Not a bad pick if you're Dylan Larkin. Just went to the playoffs, kind of a not necessarily a rough ending, but they an underwhelming finish to the season for the Wild, but they're probably a Larkin or two away from going all the way to the Stanley Cup final. He also has the Florida Panthers on his list, which again, not a bad pick. They play in South Florida. Brad Marchand is very happy down there. And they could very well be back in the running for a cup in the next few years as well. It's just kind of an off year this year. The other team he mentioned was Vegas. Now, that would probably nuke the entire league. If Larkin goes to Vegas, they're already 2 games away from winning a Stanley Cup. If they get Larkin and don't lose anybody somehow, they're going to be a really hard team to beat in the years going forward. But now it has been 3 days since he asked for that trade. So some things are moving around. Other teams are showing interest that weren't on his original list. There's word that the list may expand. Sophia, you were the one, I think, who brought up that we should talk about this. So your thoughts on this? I mean, it's kind of obvious why Larkin wants to leave Detroit, but sort of where do you think he could wind up? And what kind of an impact is he going to have wherever he lands? He's been a consistent, like, 30 goal scorer, for the past few years, almost his whole career. But is there a chance, like, he's 29 years old? Is there a chance there's a step backwards if he leaves Detroit? Basically, where's your head at here? Does he land somewhere that's not the three places that he said? What are you thinking, Sophia?
I think that those three teams make sense, like especially where Vegas is at right now and Minnesota, and then I think that Florida, like they have such a good system over there. I think that Bill Zito's a great GM and Paul Maurice, and obviously like being in South Florida, there's no issues there. I'm very, very curious about all of the speculation that the Olympics had to do with this, like Quinn Hughes telling everyone that he sees success in Minnesota after like the Canucks falling apart. And I the same like they're like, is Hellebuck gonna request a trade? Brady Tkachuk. Oh, and then Matthew Tkachuk also leaving Calgary. And I'm like I don't understand the hate with it, Joe. Just because it's like these players are giving their teams their all. Like Larkin has been the captain of the Red Wings, like, and has been on the team for like 10 years and has been a consistently good player. And that's why I think that wherever he goes, he's going to be a change maker and he's going to continue, I think, at the pace that he has because he's been such a consistent player throughout all these years. But I don't think it's fair to say that this is he's in the wrong because like there has not been a team built around him the same way that there wasn't a team for Tkachuk in Calgary and Quinn Hughes in with the Canucks. I don't think that it's fair to lock him in a box and say that why did they why like it were they actually talking about it? And it's like if they were, I understand it because they're together for 2 weeks at the Olympics. Of course they're gonna talk about it. They've all been doing the same thing. And then there's questions of like Mitch Marner, where I feel like he's a bit of a different situation just because like yes, the Leafs hadn't had success, but they did have a pretty good team around him, and he wasn't performing in the playoffs like he is now. But yeah, I definitely think that like I would not be surprised if Larkin ended up at one of these three teams, or if someone else came in and sort of swept him off his feet. But I don't know. I don't. I get why he's doing it. Obviously, like Detroit hasn't had the success that they were expected to have, and I support it. And he should come to the Rangers. So.
Yeah, I mean, I've seen similar tweets from Devils reporters that he might come to New Jersey. It all stems from that Olympic team, and like who was he friends with on that team? Who was he on a line with? Who did he kind of mesh with playing for Team USA? And like what teams do they play for? And where might he wind up? Not saying I don't want him in New Jersey; it'd be great, but it's an $8.7 million cap hit for the next 5 years that he has left on that contract. He signed an 8-year deal with Detroit 3 years ago, and now he wants out because Detroit now has the longest active playoff drought in the league because the Sabres went to the playoffs this year. They haven't made it in 10 straight years. He's been in the league for 11. If I'm Dylan Larkin, that all day, that means I got to get out of here because you want to play hockey in May. You want to play hockey ideally maybe in June. And the Detroit just seems nowhere close to doing that. So I 100% get why he wants out, especially before he turns 30, get sort of the back end of his prime in somewhere else. And like you were saying with Marner, sometimes it is just a change of scenery. That's all a guy needs to kind of figure it out. I think that's what Marner clearly needed, because there was a lot going on around him in Toronto or in Toronto. But now he's in Vegas and he's kind of sort of the star of the show, I would say. He's definitely the best younger player that they have on that team. There's a lot of guys who have pedigree but are on the older side. But Emma, do you have any lingering thoughts on this Dylan Larkin situation? I don't think he'll come to the Capitals, which would be to your benefit, but I don't know. What do you think about this whole situation?
I feel like you guys like wrapped it up pretty nicely, but I will say like just an like a very like emphasizing the point of like don't be mad at the player in this situation, be mad at the organization because I 100% support him in this, and I feel like it's it, for the people who are mad, like I understand Red Wings fans who might feel some type of way, but also like you have to direct that energy towards the organization and get them to like see that fans are not okay with like things like this happening, and like also like fans like not if like if you're blaming the organization instead of the player, like it puts more pressure on the organization to actually change instead of this happening to potentially another player. And like I just feel like yeah, just like don't hate on him. Don't hate on him. Like it's he's doing what's in his best interest, and the organization kind of screwed him over. So yeah,
Yeah,
that's all I
this
had to say.
guy was an all-star in his rookie year in 15-16. He also made the all-star game in 21-22, 22-23, and he's had 30 goals minimum since the 2021-22 season, and that is every year since then that he's had at least 30 goals. So he's been giving Detroit pretty much everything you could ask out of a guy in his prime, but they still haven't been able to figure it out. So Larkin is going to go make another team really, really good. And we've got a game five to go watch. It's coming up really soon as of this recording. The series tied at two apiece between the Vegas Golden Knights and the Carolina Hurricanes for the 2026 Stanley Cup. That's going to do it for this week's edition of 5 on 3. Thanks again for listening. Thank you to Sophia Smith and Emma Leonardi for joining me. I have been Tucker Austin, and 5 on 3 is a production of WFUV Sports.